Hi, Sharon. Let me get you back here. There, I'm back. Are you muted there? You're muted there.
Okay. There you are. Yes. Well, to support local business, a friend and I were going to have lunch either yesterday or today at a local business in the patio. And we decided on yesterday because it was sunny and not windy.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we did because it's been raining steadily for the last 4 hours.
Oh, I know. It's terrible out there today.
Well, okay. We need the moisture. We need the water. So
right.
Can't complain about that.
I know. It's not like I'm leaving the house that much anyway these days.
Oh gosh, yeah. And taking the trash out doesn't count, does it?
No, it doesn't. All right, let's see. We got a couple minutes. I don't have to let anybody in just yet.
We have a full house today?
As far as I know, yeah.
Good. I'm still trying to get my papers in order, and I'm making progress until I start going through another pile and realize, ooh, I wanted to put this in a place where I could always find things.
Right, and it never works out that way.
Well, this time it did, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which is, Murphy's Law says anything that can go wrong, it will. And if you're prepared for it, then everything will go right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So when you finally do get a chance to celebrate Christmas, where will you be going? Out of state?
Technically. So my mom lives in Western Massachusetts, just outside of Springfield.
Yeah.
And my partner's parents live about a mile away from my mom in Connecticut, because we live on the Connecticut border. So,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's...
That will work out nicely when you can do it.
Yeah. It's the convenient thing that they live down the street from one another, so we don't have to go all over the place when we go to Western Mass. So.
Yeah, I can remember hearing stories of newly married friends who spent the entire Christmas Eve and Christmas Day on the road.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah.
I know.
And it's just so hard to manage. Like, we would do Christmas Eve at one house, and then on Christmas Day, we'd have to go to my mom's, and then his mom's, and then my grandfather's.
Oh, gee.
So it's just a lot. So.
Well, you want to be with your family. You just wish they were all in one place.
I know. And we would offer to have the party here, but nobody wants to travel for Christmas. So we have to go to them, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's like, no, dear, you can come to us.
Right. Mm-hmm. One day we'll be in charge. So.
Well, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost 40 and I'm still not in charge. So.
Oh, boy, you don't look anywhere near that age.
Thank you, my darling. You're my new.
I would have taken 10 years off.
Oh, really?
And yes. These are new glasses too.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I apparently have good genetics. So.
It helps.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh.
Let's see, we got two people from the public. You know, well, let me stop recording this just to be. Let me just see here. What are we doing here? How do we stop this from recording? Pause.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you, Nikita.
I just need one moment, okay?
Take your time. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
I'm out.
Thank you.
Okay. Nick, is it okay if I start?
Yeah, without... go for it whenever you're ready.
Okay. I just want to quickly take a scan. Just make everyone, make sure everyone's here. Okay. So good afternoon. The time is now exactly 4:04 p.m. and I'm calling to order the January 14th, 2021 hearing of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing. Present today are John Bly, Sharon Cayley, Kirsten Hoffman, Helen Pillsbury, and staff member Nick Armada, and my name is Nikita Burns. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure the public access to the deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks Commission and using the hashtag #ABJanuary14hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So first up on the agenda today is a design review for application 1902-39, which is 1954 Commonwealth Avenue. I want to remind everyone that this was originally approved in August 2018. And the applicant's name is Paul Rufo. The proposed work is the extension of the original approval that includes moving the existing structure forward and constructing a new apartment building at the back of the property. Are there any recusals from commission members? If there are none, we will, I'll hand it over to Paul, if he is here.
Nikita, just one quick thing. Are there any members of the media currently present? Just make yourselves known. I do not see any media members. So Paul, I don't know if you want to take it from here.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Burns and Mr. Armada and members of the commission. This 1954 Commonwealth Avenue, as a result of a number of meetings with the Aberdeen Commission, was approved. And I think actually the approval was written up by Mr. Cornish in December of 2018. But since that time, the developer, who is the Yu Family Trust, and on the, I don't think he's pictured, but on the call is Dan Yu from the Yu family, YU. Also our architect, Cliff Bomer, and his assistant, Elena Pernina, probably not saying her name correctly, so forgive me, of Davis Square Architects, who do a lot of historic renovation and development, is with us too to answer any questions. But the long and short of it is, since that time, we've had a number of meetings with the community, with the BPDA. Obviously, we've gotten slowed down by COVID. The reason for today's request is to request an extension for 1 year of the approval issued by the commission. Pending application that we have in front of the Inspectional Services Department, which the latest I have from them is with the plan examiner, Tom White, is simply to do nothing that affects this decision whatsoever. Let me make that clear. We're not looking to change at all. Very satisfied, very happy, appreciative of the Aberdeen Commission's approval. We want to keep that intact. What we're looking for from the just by way of information from the Inspectional Services Department, and probably will go to the Zoning Board of Appeals, is to increase the number of units. The approval going back to 2009, the variance going back to then, was for much larger units. We feel that the market would welcome a smaller unit. So we're asked for that change in the variance. And also one of our side yard, the one to the, as we face the property to the right, bleeds into the, yeah, the where the garage was moved forward there, that side yard bleeds into the 10-foot setback by 3 by 4 or 5 feet, I think it is. So we're actually going to need a technical, if you will, variance for that. So just to keep things in place, and our variance is still very much alive, we got approval from the ZBA last March for a one-year extension of that of the variance, which has been in place now for some time. So we want to keep your approval in place and move forward. With that, I would just address too, Mr. Cornish was kind enough, and Nick as well, kind enough to alert us to some concerns by the city and the neighbors with regard to two issues with regard to the building. And that's why I've also asked the architect and the owner to address those issues. One, as I understand it, is the security surrounding the building, since it is not occupied and hasn't been for some time. And the second is the structural integrity of the building. Obviously, this is an historic asset that the owner is going to be, developer is going to be spending significant money to preserve and upgrade and make it usable again, make it occupiable again. So we're very much concerned about the structural integrity of the building as well. So with your permission, Nick and members of the commission, I would ask the owner, Dan Yu, to address the security, what measures are in place to make sure that the building remains secure, and then ask Mr. Bohmer, Cliff Bohmer, the architect, to address the how we're preserving the structural integrity until we're ready to move the building forward and get going with the construction. Okay?
Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you. Dan, are you on?
Yeah, am I, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. I guess regarding the security, Paul had mentioned something about people or some security measures, security issues. I know that last year we had a break-in, and then ever since that we did install new locks and also deadbolts and re-secured the place. And originally we had one someone taking a look at the property once a month. We've since increased that significantly to at least twice a week. So once or twice a week to come by and just make sure everything's okay. So that's on the security front.
Okay, thank you, Dan. And Cliff Bohmer, can you talk to us about the structure?
Well, first I want to say hi to all of you people who I've had extensive conversations with about this development, and I'm glad to see that you've stayed healthy. It's been an odd year or so. So as far as structural integrity, I'm not aware that it has degraded structurally. I know there was some water leakage in the building, I think 2 years ago or so, and I think that was addressed. So while I haven't been to the building myself recently, I'm not aware of anything that is failing, in any significant way. I would say that just on the notion of the extension, I think it's, I think all of you know the idea behind this is unusual maybe way of really preserving a really important historic asset, certainly an efficient way, if not unusual. So the time, it's not, the more time that passes, as with many of our projects that have been delayed because of the COVID crisis, we certainly want to get this project moving as quickly as possible. For the reasons that started this whole thing quite a long time ago, which is to preserve a really unusual piece on the street, that most of which that were similar to it are long gone. So the goals remain the same. And as Paul pointed out, it's been at ISD, it's with a plan reviewer now, and we are really hoping we can get going as quickly as possible on the development.
Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Nick and Nikita. Any questions or anything else we can?
Great, thanks. Thanks so much, Paul. So thanks for those comments. Commissioners, just a quick refresher. So all of our approvals are good for 2 years. Once the approval has expired, we do have the ability to renew the approval for another 2 years. We do have control over demolition and materials. The design portions of this project have already been established. So I don't think this meeting would be appropriate for design questions. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Nikita, and we can go from there.
Nikita, you're on mute.
So sorry, thank you. I do want to open it up for a discussion with the commission members first, specifically when it comes down to the main structure, the historical structure, if they have any questions about how they're maintaining that throughout this process. So I'll open it up.
If I can start, in the initial design presentation, there were going to be 3 or 4 units created out of the original structure. Has that part of the project changed at all?
The request to the ISD is to create 6 units in the historic structure. They're all 2 and 3 bedroom units.
Just out of curiosity, what is the square footage?
Of the units, you mean?
Of the historic structure part, yes, please.
If I might need some help with that, you've got your...
Alona and I are both getting the plans called up here.
Oh, sorry about that.
Let me see. Sharon, do you mean each unit, what the unit sizes are?
Yes, and I don't need exact numbers, just a range of, is it 850 to 930 square feet, something like that.
Yeah, okay. All right, Alona, do you have a called up? I do. I just want to make sure we're looking at exactly the same images here. Sorry, I should have assumed you would ask some questions. All right, within the historic structure, let me give you the range. It's a little complicated because they're on 2 levels. So yeah. You have to do a little bit of arithmetic here. All right. Alona, do you want to check me if I'm wrong? There's a 2 bedroom that is 1,350 square feet. I'm imagining that is the biggest, though there's one other 2 bedroom.
That was the one with 2 floors, right?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one on the right hand side, and there's a 2 floor, 2 bedroom on the left that is almost the same, 1,350. Okay. those are the closest to grade. Those are the lower two units in the building. Mm-hmm. And then as we go up, okay, there's a two-bedroom that is 788 feet. Another two-bedroom at 788 feet. I'm sorry, Sharon, I know you asked for a range, but
that's okay. This is useful information.
And a one-bedroom at 676. And I think that's it. Did I get them all alone? I think I did.
There is another one, I think two-bedroom unit that is on the second floor.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's 939 feet.
939. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And sorry, we didn't have that prepared before.
So just out of curiosity, I mean, I remember meeting out there when you guys were proposing the change from the original plan to the new plan in terms of units. Has that been approved or is that still in the process?
That is what we've applied for with IST. The two requests to IST are to increase the number of units and have this 5-foot set side yard a violation, if you will, because it goes within the garage goes 5 feet into the 10-foot setback side yard. So those are the two asks. By increasing the number of units, you need more lot area, if you will. So that's why it's a
right. So I guess I'm just trying to hear, is that, or has that been approved, or is it still trying to be approved?
It's still pending. We went to the BPDA, had a number of meetings and conversations, because this is basically a notice of project change. And because the project had originated with the BPDA, the VRA way back when, we went back to them, had a number of meetings with them, and ultimately they cleared us, if you will, recommended and cleared us to just go directly to the to Inspectional Services. So that's what we did. Filed an application with Inspectional Services in the summer, I want to say July or something like that, when we finally got all the plans done. Might have been August, but in any event, and it's been pending there. I've been trying to push it along, and finally they've been backed up in all of that, of course, and finally they told me about a month or so ago, just before the Christmas, that they had assigned it to Tom White as plan examiner to review our plans.
And so then, just to make sure, I'm new to this board, sure. So I don't think I saw the original plans before, and I'm just trying to make sure, has the driveway or garage entrance actually moved, or is it in the exact same spot? It's just that because of the addition, it triggers the change in
zone. The exterior, what you see, John, there is, it hasn't changed at all. We didn't touch the outside of the building. Don't want to, wouldn't want to. That's it. So nothing has changed. Just took the envelope and carved up the interior to make more units, both in the historic building, as Cliff just described, and in the addition. There were, I want to say, 13 units originally. We're looking to add 7 more there. And they're all 2-bedroom, 2-bath, or 1-bedroom, 1-bath. And I don't want to guess at the mix, but I think it might be something like 10 and 10. I'm sorry, I had the whole program and everything, but it's been a few months now since I did that. But in any event, that's the program.
Paul, you did say in the addition is 1 and 2 bedroom units, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it, Helen.
Thank you. So I realize maybe you don't know exactly how long the ISD review will take, but do you have any projected timeline of where your process is and when the ISD review will finish, if there's any other steps after that, and when construction would actually start? Do you have any projections for that at all?
Yes, thank you, Helen. Once the plan examiner gets it, typically takes them about 30 to 40 days to review it. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I will gently nudge in January. So hopefully we get our refusal letter, as it's called, rejection letter. We'll take an appeal of those two issues to the Zoning Board of Appeals. And that's taking between 45 and 60 days to get a hearing with the Zoning Board of Appeals. So that would bring us into the March, April timeframe. If that is approved, then the Cliff and Dan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but then they can go full bore with the building, you know, set of plans for the actual building permit, and then that. So they would look at perhaps starting that sometime this summer of 2021, if all goes well with that process. Does that sound about right, Dan and Cliff?
I might be on mute. Well, as you pointed out, we need to finish the construction documents. So once we get all the approvals, and we would finish the construction documents, bid or negotiate the price, and then commence following that. So I think it realistically, it's probably, if we can really find out, you know, be in front of the ZBA in March and April. Is that what you're suggesting, Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So if we got the approval in March and April, something like 3 months later, we should be able to bid the project. So I think realistically, probably a fall start would be as quickly as it could proceed. Along with many other issues associated with COVID, the building world has gone a little crazy. So it's hard to predict, mainly because of some really radical changes in material pricing and project delays. So that's what I know to date. Is I think it'd be great if we could start in the fall of this year, but you know, a lot of things have to happen before then.
Thank you. I just would like to comment that we're now looking at probably at least, in other words, 8 to 9 months before construction would even begin. If I understand correct, Nick, if we give an extension, that is good for 2 years, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So once the building permit has been issued, then we're good to go. So you have 2 years from the date of the letter to actually file and get your building permit approved.
And so even though hopefully construction would start in 8 or 9 months, it's potentially up to 2 years because that time frame is there, and with COVID, with financial issues. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure that this will move forward that quickly. And right. Even that is a fairly good amount of time.
Right.
So my concern is with the structural integrity of the building and that it continues to be, you know, unoccupied and subject to the elements. And my concern would be just to have some kind of proviso or requirements that's a historic building be maintained in good order and not be allowed to deteriorate so that it will be structurally sound at the time that the construction proceeds. And if it would be possible for us to add a proviso of that type our decision.
Yeah, I think that's wise, Helen. I think that is something that we can do. And the wording could be something along the effect of the building envelope must be sealed for the duration of its vacancy, and then something like that.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think I'll just join in a little bit unrehearsed, obviously. I think that's a great idea, Helen. The language, I'd be careful about language like ceiling, because I think that wouldn't necessarily be a good thing to do. I would need to look at it myself. I think certainly having weather getting into the building, making sure that there's no significant water infiltration. Mm-hmm. I guess what I would say is I think that's a great idea, and it's obviously in everybody's best interest that the building not degrade, because it's only going to cost more money to preserve it if it is degraded.
Right.
But I'd love to help you craft the language, or review what language you would suggest. But it's a goal that we share with you, to not have the building degrade at all.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Cliff. Yeah.
So what, Nick, can you suggest? I agree with, I'm sorry.
Cliff,
so I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right, Helen. It's been a long time.
I'm sure there are, there's usually more than one solution to any problem. I'm sure there are different steps that can be taken. So Nick, would it be appropriate for the applicant to make a proposal to you or for you to negotiate or discuss with them? I'm not sure that's something that could be decided.
So
exactly what would be done right here today, but I'd be interested in seeing some kind of mm-hmm. language just to in general, protect the property. But the actual details of how it's done maybe is something that would not necessarily be able to be decided now, but maybe you could negotiate or discuss.
Yeah, so that's a great question there, Helen. So basically, I would craft up the language and discuss it with our city attorneys. And then if you're comfortable, I can share it with you and the rest of the commissioners, as well as the applicant, to ensure that we're all in agreement as far as what the language should be. And the language would refer to protecting the building from weather damage and vandalism, essentially. So we can come up with that.
Yeah, that's it. Those are the concerns.
Right.
Yep.
But Nick, just another quick clarification. Mm-hmm. So from our perspective, what we're deciding on today is just to increase a 2-year time limit for this to go forward. But I know with them going forward for changing their units and different things, our approval has no bearing on that process, because I know that there's people in the neighborhood that have some issues with that.
Yeah, great question, John. So the original zoning for this was the variance for this project was approved. So, and nothing on the exterior of the structure is changing in terms of everything that we review. So therefore, if they get rejected in theory for their variance or their project change, they can still default back to the original approval, which we have all the necessary sign-offs for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think that we should be approving the changes or helping with that process without other people having their due diligence in that conversation. As long as it's not, our approval of the extension has nothing to do with any of that.
Correct. Right.
Making sure. I want to make sure.
That's correct, John. Yeah, it's a great question.
I can go on the record saying you're absolutely 100% correct on that.
Yeah. Yeah. The venue for that's the CBA.
Right. Yeah. That's, I thought so, but I just kind of, it's better to be sure than.
Yeah. It's a great question, John.
Yep.
I do have a question regarding the increased number of units and how it will affect the number of parking spaces, because in an earlier meeting, that apparently was a major issue as far as having a parking space plus handicap accessibility plus designated disability and trash removal in the parking area. And at the time, this is perhaps 2.5-3 years ago, it was going to be 19 spaces. Since we've raised the subject of ISD and ZBA, is this going to be an issue with an additional, I'd say 19, an additional 7 units?
We have maintained the same 19 spaces. That hasn't changed.
All right.
I think was the question. Who asked that question? I'm sorry.
I asked it. Sorry, Cliff. Sharon, I asked it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hi. Was the intent of that question to figure out whether that created additional zoning relief request? Was that
partly? Yes. But also in the past, the ZBA I think it was ZBA was quite adamant about having the appropriate number of parking spaces, and that apparently caused some problems with the design creation. And have you presented the newer number of units to ISD in the same context as the parking spaces?
Were filed, we maintain the 19 parking spaces, but we have increased the proposed unit count. Whether ISD will want to, or the Zoning Board of Appeal will want to revisit that variance. They have granted a variance for the parking, but it was for a smaller number of units. You're quite
exactly
right.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, quite right. So I don't know what they'll do on that. It's quite possibly they'll tag it for, needing another variance for that. But in terms of the number of spaces, we've got proposal for 26 units with 19 parking spaces.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Previously, it was 16 units with 19 parking spaces.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Commissioners, any other questions for the applicant?
No, I think I've asked all of mine.
Great. Nikita, do you want to read the element for public comment, and then we'll take public comment?
Absolutely. Just 1 second. I just need to expand a little. So before I read the public comment piece, I again want to just remind everyone that today we are voting on an extension for a project that has already been approved. And so we would like to limit the comments just to the preservation of the historic structure and not necessarily the whole entire project in itself, because that's already in the pipeline, okay? So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question into the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB January 14th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comment related to the topics under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concerns. Please state your name and address followed by your comments. If you, if someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment already mentioned. And public comment is now open.
Perfect. So the first public comment we have is for Rebecca Wassel. Rebecca, go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm Rebecca Wassel. I live at 1960 Comm Ave. My apartment overlooks the historical building we are looking at. And I wanted to comment both on the security and on the structural issue. So in terms of the security, in terms of both, I am actually quite suspect of the things that have been said, because I do live next to this building and have for the better part of the last 5 years. And we have met with these attorneys and folks before, and nothing has changed. I believe the last time we met with them was in front of the building was about 18 months ago, and we've addressed a lot of these issues. Nothing has changed. I'll start with structural. The stairs in front of the building have been crumbling more and more over time. They're now hard to call stairs. They're very dangerous. The tiles off the roof have been falling off. This was mentioned 18 months ago and haven't been fixed. There are broken windows that at best have been boarded up, but not all of them. You know, there are all of these pieces of the building that have been falling apart and nothing has been done for at least a year and a half. And these have been brought up repeatedly to the attorneys and other people that we have been speaking with. And then in terms of security, you know, they say people come by once or twice a week, and I can't see how that is possibly true because the garbage cans stay full for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time and don't get put out. When they get pulled out, they are on the curb again for weeks. The front door of the building was left open for at least 2 to 3 weeks, full on open. There are lights on in random parts of the building at different days. The basement light was on for a long time. And right now one of the staircase lights is on. I apologize, my dog in the background. So I have a very hard time believing there's security in the building at any given time. There are often people who seem to be using drugs near the building. I have a very hard time believing that there is security or that any repair work or any maintenance is done on this building at any given time. And just a quick comment to the issue of parking. I know that's not the main issue, but there should be at least 40 spaces for that number of residents. We already don't have enough parking around here. I will let it go at that and cede time to other comments.
Thank you, Rebecca. The applicants, are there any comments to what Rebecca just spoke to?
Well, Dan, if you're on there about the, my understanding was that the trash barrels.
Sorry, doesn't move.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I'm not sure how trash barrels can get out into the sidewalk area or the front area because no one's been living there, so there's no trash being taken out. We've told the, as Paul mentioned to me recently, I've instructed the person to just get remove the trash barrels entirely. So there's no trash barrels. Probably in the next week or so, there won't be any trash barrels there. In terms of windows, if there's any broken windows, there might be the storm windows on the outside, but I just had someone check that last week and the interior windows are all sealed. And if they're not, then whatever is needed to do that, then we'll certainly take care of that to make sure that there's nothing in it. As I heard from the new person's coming in, they're taking care of those things. In terms of like someone not coming, whatever the number of times you mentioned, might have been in the past because as I said, we switched to a new person to take care of the property, especially after the break-in. So
may I ask you when you did that? Because that door being open for like 3 weeks was in the last month or two.
Yeah, it's in the last 2 to 3 weeks we switched over to someone new. They've been there since Christmas, so they've been doing that every week. And I, you know, they take photos of that for me.
And may I ask about the lights in the building?
I'm not sure what you mean by the lights in the building.
So I did see someone come by to do something in the building in the last, say, month. But since they were there, there is a new light on in that building. Still.
I'm not sure I'm aware of it, but if there's a light on, I'll ask them why there's a light on. If there isn't,
it's gone on since they have left.
Okay.
It was not on when they were there. It has gone on since they have left.
Okay.
Well, I do know that the person has secured, new deadbolts have been put in. All the locks have been changed. So I'm not sure how someone had got in earlier, but anyway, we tried to assume that whoever did somehow got in and changed and deadbolted a lot of all the doors again, changed all the locks.
Great. Okay. So Dan, thanks so much for that feedback. I think a resolution to this problem, it will be resolved with the provisos that the commissioners are considering. But Rebecca, I'd like to maybe touch base with you and grab your information and we can discuss this online about getting some of these things taken care of until construction has commenced.
I would like to make one comment. I appreciate any observations about, you know, roof tiles being missing, because that type of, I think the water infiltration is our concern for, you know, being sure we preserve the building.
Right.
So we will right. look at that ourselves.
Thank you, Cliff. Terrific. So I will get back with you, Rebecca. If you could just email me, my email address is on the website, the Aberdeen website. If you shoot me a note with your info, we'll be in touch. So thank you for that information. I don't see any other public comment, but I did receive a public comment via email. That was for a Lisa Clark, and I do see that Lisa's here today. So Lisa, if you don't have any objections, I'm just going to read your comments, and we'll leave it at that. Just bring this up here. Okay, sorry folks, I just got to bring this over.
You could read my comment, but just to simplify matters, since we're not addressing any design issues, as I okay. understand it in this portion of the meeting, right. I'll just speak briefly to the concern that I stated to you, particularly relative to parking in this already very congested area. I do think that is a concern, and I just would, for the purposes of going forward with the meeting, just like some confirmation of my understanding that the external footprint of the building, the elevation, et cetera, will not be changed from what we're seeing today on the screen. Is that correct? It's just an internal reapportionment?
Yes, that's correct.
That is correct, yeah.
Thank you.
Great. So I'm not seeing any other public comment. Let me just double check here. There is no public comment. So at that, we can close the public comment portion. And Nikita, I will turn it back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Nick. So we are going to move right into the voting portion for tonight for this particular application. Okay.
There's a chat. I don't know if it's a question before we move forward.
Sure. Yeah, just popped up. Sorry, Nikita.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
No, it's apparently Nancy Daly sent in an email. Can you find it, Nick?
So I see Nancy sent in something via the chat. So that's the comment that I'll be reading. I don't read my emails during hearings. It's inappropriate. Nope, that's okay. So Nancy said, I just want to clarify the purpose of this evening. I understand that the initial design has been approved, and then that the approval has expired. At what point will the approval or denial of this, of the extended units be? I don't know if we have an answer for that. At what point will the approval or denial of the extended
units? I think they're asking, is there any public, the process of the, when the ISD is changing the amount of units or number of units. Did that go to the BAIA in that process, or no, it doesn't go there at all?
Yeah, I can speak to that. I think that was John.
Yeah, it was, sorry.
Okay, so I think that's what the question's asking. That's okay, so just quickly, so the answer to that, to what I think Nancy Daly's question is yes. There'll be a whole public process for that. So we have gone to the BAIA previously, and then we'll be going back there once we get our refusal letter. The Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Services, Connor Newman, will schedule another abutters meeting, which will have Ms. Wassel, Rachel mentioned that we did have an abutters meeting.
Yep.
We're going to go back there once we get our refusal letter and we know what our specific requests for variances are. We'll go back to the BAIA, and I think that'll probably be it. I'm not sure that the Boston Civic Association has weighed in here. I know I've checked with them. I'll double check my notes, but I don't think we've presented to them. That's the process, John, and we'll be there'll be plenty of time for public comment, you know, working with the community.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the confusion's coming from as to how much what this meeting is controlling over that process, you know? So I think that's where you're getting a lot of these extra questions.
Yeah, okay. All right, great. Thanks, everybody. Nikita, back to you.
Excellent. And thank you, Nancy, for your comment. So I'm gonna ask the commission if there is a motion from a commissioner. If not, then I would like to propose the motion to approve the application with the following provisos. That the application is approved with the provisos that the existing 1910 structure is maintained in the state of good repair. Any request to removal of the existing structure as a result of its condition will require the entire project to be re-reviewed by the commission. This could potentially include a full historic survey and rebuild of the historic structure should it be deemed structurally unsound. Do we have a second to this motion?
A second.
Excellent. I will now take a roll call. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And myself, yay. The application has been approved, and that was application 190239.
Great. Okay, great. Thanks, folks. I'll get you that letter in the morning after I just get the language of the actual letter approved by our attorneys. And you folks are good to go. The letter will be approved for our for 2 years.
Thank you, folks. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Nice seeing you guys again.
Yes, alive.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Nice. Have a good night, folks.
Thank you.
All right. So everyone, we're now moving on to the administrative review. So if you wanted to just take a look at that and then make a motion or questions as necessary. Also, public comment.
So Nick, with this one, I always get a little turned mm-hmm. around on this particular type.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just following the same process on this one, yes. Or is this jumping straight to it?
So what we're doing is you're just going to read out the application. So you're going to say the application number and then the address and then the described work. And then what we'll mm-hmm. do is we'll open it to public comment. If there's no public comment, we'll close the public comment and then you'll make a motion.
Perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone's ready. So the application is 210542. The address is 8 Cheswick Road. The applicant would be Derek Rubinoff. The proposed... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not. I don't think it's Derek.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
That's a typo on my part.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, just go ahead and read the work description.
The work description is at the front, inside facade, visible from Cheswick Road, level 4. Replace 10 6/1 aluminum clad windows with 10 6/1 aluminum clad windows. Are there any recusals from commission members?
Nope.
Okay. Members of the public. I'm so sorry, Nick. Am I, because I'm like usually decent at this. Am I opening?
You're always decent at this.
Am I opening this up for us to discuss first and then public comment, or are we going straight to public comment?
Up to you.
Get
crazy.
Okay, let's get crazy here. I'm gonna give it to the commission first.
Okay.
Commission members, do you have anything to add on this?
Thank you. A question or comment, Nick. This seems pretty cut and dried. It seemed like replacing in kind, but I am curious if, you know, we often with the multifamily buildings talk about having a plan for the building to, you know, because they don't replace all the windows at one time, to have a consistent style and type. And I'm wondering if this building has had replacement windows in the past, and if so, if the proposed ones match what was done in the past, or if they do have any kind of, you know, plan or standardized style for this building.
Yeah, that is a fantastic question, Helen. And I'll need you to stop reading my emails going forward. Because so there actually has not been window replacements at this property. And I had made the applicant aware that these windows will be the standard for the entire building.
And oh, nice.
And so that's fine. And the applicant agreed to that. And the applicant has to have the chair of the condo association sign off. So they're on board with it too, because I have their signature. So
that's
fantastic
great.
Question. Yes.
It's really the getting the condo. The owner can just say, oh yeah, that's great. We'll do that. It's mm-hmm. the condo association that needs to be like on board with it. So that's great.
Correct. Yeah. And just for everyone's reference, the application says that under the penalties of perjury, you are authorized to sign on behalf of your entire building. So if they perjure themselves and that's not valid, that's not our problem. That's their lawyer problem. But yes, so they did sign off and we're good to go.
That's great. That's mm-hmm. great to have a plan like that for a building.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Excellent. Anyone else?
Nope.
Great. So let's close our discussion and open it up to public discussion. Mm-hmm. So members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question into the chat via the Zoom application in the meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 and raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB January 14th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comment related to the topics under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concerns. Please state your name and address followed by your comment. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment that's already mentioned. And now public comment is open.
Great. So I'm not seeing anything on Twitter or email, and it does not appear that there's anybody else in the room but us. So we can close public comment.
Comment is closed. So is there a motion from a commissioner?
Approve it?
To approve. Perfect. That's all it is.
I make the motion to approve as stated.
I second the motion. I will now take the roll call vote. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Ellen?
Yay.
And Nikita? Yay. Application 21, sorry, I don't know if that's the right application number. 210542, is that the right one?
That's the right one. Yeah, I don't know where Derek came from. He was here last time, but
yeah. So it's been approved. Basically, that is from last time. I have a script, a running document that I that has highlights changes each time, right? And so if I miss something, I totally like dropped the ball today, guys. I'm sorry.
Completely fine.
Okay.
A funeral that I have to go to in an hour, and I'm like, oh my god. So
yeah.
Well,
guys. I think we're moving on to the ratification of the meeting minutes from last meeting, right?
Yeah. Right.
How do you guys feel about the new format? Do you see it?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're trying to streamline our processes because we're just like overwhelmed with work right now. So this is a way of us kind of simplifying the original process. So if you like it, that's good.
Extra doing minutes and like bullet points is the way to go. Long paragraphs of text that people get lost in, no one even reads them. No, I think it was great.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I think since we have our recordings now available online to the public, if anyone wants exact happenings, they can just download the recording. So good. I'm glad you guys like it.
Excellent.
Yes, you did well, Nick.
Thank you.
Okay, so the ratification.
Motion.
I am making the motion for the ratification of the December 10th, 2020 public hearing minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Excellent. I'll take a roll call vote. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
and Nikita, yay. And the minutes have been ratified. And now I'll pass it over to you, Nick, for staff updates.
Staff updates. So so John and Nikita, you'll be happy, well, everybody will be happy to know, is that we have actually started the commissioner training. So we'll be scheduling that in the next couple months, our next couple month or so, and that will be required for all commissioners, so new and existing commissioners. It's a great refresher. There's a lot of preconceived notions that aren't necessarily true that kind of float about our commissions. Kirsten, you know this, not that you've done it, but you're in multiple districts, so you totally get it. So we just want to make sure everyone's on board. And I appreciate your patience. I know you guys have basically been doing this for a year without much training, but you've been doing fantastic. And we're finally catching up now that we have some downtime in the winter seasons.
I have a question. What kind of like things float around? I just want an example.
Great question. So some commissioners feel, we hear sometimes that some commissioners feel that there are certain materials that cannot be used in a district. And in a way it's true, but for example, the South End, the commissioners there think that we can't use metal panels on new construction. There's no rule in the South End that says that. I think part of it comes from folks have been on the commission so long, there are unwritten rules, and that's completely okay, but we shouldn't be governing our entire decisions based on those unwritten rules. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of some of the things we're looking to clarify. It's just to make sure that people understand what is agreed upon by a select group of commissioners, and then what's actually the rules that we must abide by. Another thing is there are certain districts that think they can approve and reject light fixtures. So there are several districts that do not regulate light fixtures. We need to clarify that. So those types of things that we'll be going over in the actual training. We're going to be talking about revising some of the guidelines and things like that. So we certainly have our schedules that are packed ahead of us, but I think they'll be well needed, especially because we'll be having a new commission on board hopefully very soon, and that will be the Highland Park neighborhood in Roxbury. Which will be our first historic district in Roxbury, and it's something that we're really looking forward to, but fingers crossed everything will go according to plan, but it seems like that's getting that way. Yeah,
that's very exciting. So this training coming up is specific for the commission that deal with preservation,
correct? All 10 of the commissions. BLC and all of the Boston historic districts. And we'll all just be going over some common misconceptions, some processes and procedures, and all sorts of stuff like that. And I think it'll be great for everybody involved.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I feel like the first were really helpful, but they were very open. The scope was very open to, it wasn't specific to what we're doing here, even though it was relevant.
Exactly.
Right. So I think that I'm looking forward to something that's a little bit more narrow. I'll keep an eye out for when that pops up in my email.
That's great. Yeah. So I'll keep everyone posted with those dates. They will be required, but we will be offering multiple sessions. Mm-hmm. So you'll have some wiggle room to negotiate what date you'll attend. So thanks for your patience on that, specifically for Nikita and John, because I know you guys were just kind of thrown into the loop, but we're getting there. So
no, we appreciate it. Is that the only update?
That's the only update. I have nothing else. If you guys just want to take a moment to or to vote to adjourn, then we'll be good to go.
Perfect. Do we have a motion to adjourn the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing on January 14th, 2021?
I'll make a motion.
Perfect. I second the motion. I will now take a roll call vote. John?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
And myself, yay. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night, everybody.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
You too.